Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. Today, a look at the new book by a Washington correspondent on the subject of Richard Lugar and what happened to Indiana's senior senator this year. But first, roller derby is making something of a comeback. Teams of mostly women playing the sport around Indiana, and it actually is a sport, demanding skill, competitive spirit, and something else you don't always see, as we found out during a visit with Muncie's roller derby team at a roller rink on the south side. There, we met the corn-fed Derby Dames. Their coach, Chad Holmquist, tried to explain roller derby.
You know, check it out because it's pretty much hockey on roller skates. And they wear a lot less padding, too. And it's women. And you want to talk about some powerful women. You know, these days we're always, you know, talking about, you know, women empowerment. And this is it. This is roller derby is it. And it's an awesome, quick-paced sport. I mean, it's kind of hard to follow, but once you get it, I mean, it's just awesome to watch. It's a good time.
What's it like coaching them?
Oh, it's a great time, actually, because you get girls from different aspects of life, with students, professionals. I think we got a dog groomer. We got some other, you know, ladies on here, and they come together for one common goal to play roller derby. And I think that's the big difference between this year and last year was they're actually starting to form a team. And a lot of these girls haven't been on a team or, you know, haven't been part of a team before. And I think, you know, it makes them happy and it makes them feel like a family. So.
Hi, I'm John Strauss. I'm with Indiana Public Radio, and I'm doing a story about your team. Can I talk to you for just a second?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I got a breath.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. Bruzy Ricardo, I love that.
Oh, thanks.
Are you a Lucy fan?
I'm a diehard Lucy fan.
And let's describe you. You look to me like you're about 5'7". And
on skates, I'm probably about 5'7". Yeah.
Not always.
Not always.
In other words, you're not a big bruiser.
No, I'm a little one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're going to get crunched out here when you're doing this?
Yeah, I think everyone does, though. I feel like size in derby, every size has a place. Everyone has something that they're great at, and everyone has a weakness or two. There are things that I can do that maybe someone a lot bigger than me can't do, and there are obviously things that they can do that I can't do.
Now, you look like you're in shape. Are you a runner? Do you do all that kind of stuff? I mean, are you an athlete?
I was all through, like, middle school and high school, and then once I got out of school, not so much. And then, actually, after I had a baby, I got more into working out and exercising and being a little healthier.
So you're a mom now?
Mm-hmm.
One child or?
One. I am married with one 2.5-year-old little girl.
Well, that's kind of a bruising experience itself,
isn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What do you do in your day job?
I'm actually a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
My husband does tattoos, and I'm fortunate enough to get to stay home and play with the little one and a puppy and some cats, and we hang out. It's good.
What are these ladies like? They come from all different kind of backgrounds and everything. Thing, but
yeah,
what
yeah.
happens when you come together as a team?
I mean, you'd think that we'd want to kill each other, but we don't. I mean, sometimes we do, but it's very short-lived anger, and we move on. We're like a big, weird, dysfunctional, but somehow functional family. I love it.
Tell me a story about one time where you go, I can't believe she did that, you know?
Oh, and, you know, it's a good one, too. And she's not here, and that upsets me. We have a jammer. Her name is Alotta Pushy. And her and I butted heads at one point last year. And I actually left practice, took my helmet off, threw it. By the time I got home, she'd already sent me an email apologizing. I wrote back. I apologize. We hugged the next time. No big deal. It's just, we yell at each other. It will happen. It's a contact sport. You're going to get mad at each other. You're going to get mouthy. And most of the time we can handle each other, but sometimes we kind of blow up.
My name's Chad Holmquist. I played soccer pretty much my whole life, and went to college and played soccer. Played hockey in college, but it was intramural. You know, it wasn't, you know, big deal. But and then now I do triathlons and stuff, and so I kind of bring in the, you know, coaching from soccer and stuff. You know, I've been part of a team pretty much my whole life, so I know what's how to do it. And then I've got the endurance part with the, you know, the triathlons and stuff. So it just kind of works out well. And I guarantee you, these girls are more in shape than most teams are because of my triathlon background. So
some of these women haven't been on teams before.
Well, when they get here and they realize that people are actually looking out for them, helping them out, there's, you know, someone's pretty much, you know, someone's got their back, and I don't think they're used to that. And you know, it feels good, and it makes, you know, makes them happy, and you know, in the long run, it just, you know, it makes them a better person.
It can be a rough sport.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, another thing is, you know, you have injuries and stuff, and so when you get hurt, you know, it sucks, but it happens, and we have to move on as a team. But there's somebody there on the team that's going to help them out and get through that injury and get them back on the, you know, the floor as quickly as possible too. So
what is your coaching technique that you use here that might be different from coaching that you've done in other sports?
Well, for one, coaching, you know, a bunch of women, it's a whole nother animal.
What do you mean?
You've got a lot of attitudes and a lot of other stuff going on, but it's one, you know, as the season's progressed, I'm learning, just like they are. That's for sure.
What have you learned?
I learned sometimes it's better to keep my mouth shut.
Tell me about a time where you saw somebody do something that really impressed you, and you thought, hey, there's something. This is.
I'll be honest with you. That awe moment happened last weekend. We had a bout last weekend. And we did really well, and we ended up winning. But it was the first time that I saw all the girls on the team come together and play as a team. And we've been doing this for about a year and a half, and something clicked. Something clicked, and they played really well. They won, and afterwards, you could tell. I mean, they were inseparable as a family and as a team, and they felt it, and you could see it, and they knew that they had finally, you know, come together as a team.
And this is their second year, so it didn't happen all at once.
No,
what was it?
Not.
How did they turn the corner?
I don't know. It's just like you know, ever since I've only been coaching for a year, but that was my main, me stressing, you have to become a team. No more individual stuff. That all has to be done as a team. And, yeah, it just came together last weekend, and I think it just all clicked finally, so.
That's Chad Holmquist and Bruzy Ricardo of the Corn-Fed Derby Dames Roller Derby Team. You can see their schedule online at cornfeddd.com. And you can see video of the team on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and look up Indiana Weekend. We'll have more with the Derby Dames coming up, but straight ahead, the new book about Richard Lugar and what happened to Indiana's senior senator.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Here's John Strauss.
We don't cover a lot of politics on Indiana Weekend. Other radio shows do a better job of that. But when longtime Indiana Senator Richard Lugar lost in his party's primary in May, we were reminded of a new book that just came out. John Shaw, congressional correspondent and vice president of Market News International, is author of Richard G. Lugar, Statesman of the Senate. We caught up with him by phone in Washington. Sounds like pretty good timing for an author to write a book on Senator Lugar at this turning point in his career.
Totally coincidental, I must say. I've actually been working on the book since 2006. In fact, when I started it, the world was different, certainly from Richard Lugar's perspective. He was a running unopposed for his sixth term, was chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and there was a Republican president in the White House. So the world certainly has changed in the 6 years since when I started the book.
You think that history is going to view Lugar more generously, maybe, than primary voters did in May?
I do. I think that Lugar's accomplishments are really quite considerable. I he has not been a flawless senator. There are some things in his record that I think are subject to criticism, but I think by and large he's been an important and constructive senator. Certainly in the realm of foreign policy, has done important things on arms control, on nuclear proliferation, has played a key role in just making American foreign policy function. He's been serving really as kind of Congress's informal foreign minister, where he will meet with diplomats coming to Washington and is always well-briefed and fully aware of what the relationship is with the United States. So I think Lugar's played a really important role in just kind of making the day-to-day mechanics of American foreign policy work, as well as doing, as I mentioned, some really big things on arms control and nuclear proliferation. He's tried to be constructive on energy policy, global food policy. He's actually had a really important role, I think, in foreign policy, and I think will be thought of as one of the most important figures over the last quarter century in the realm of foreign policy.
Do you think that his work on foreign policy and these kind of issues eventually hurt him back in the state?
You know, it's hard to know. I mean, the one thing I should say is, having talked with the senator extensively, he was probably no one in the world has a greater understanding of the political perils of being on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee vis-a-vis domestic politics. I mean, he knows the history of the committee, was fully aware of the defeats eventually of William Fulbright and Frank Church and Chuck Percy. He was aware of that history. I actually believe, I know this is not fashionable to say in Indiana now, but I mean, I think he's worked pretty hard and diligently over the 35 years to stay plugged in and connected with Indiana. I don't believe that he neglected the state. I think the state's Republican politics changed on him, certainly over the last 3 or 4 years. But I don't know that... I don't know that his leadership on the Foreign Relations Committee was a pivotal factor. I mean, although one has to acknowledge it certainly made opponents over the years say that the senator was much more interested in events in other parts of the world than he was in Indiana. I also know there's a lot of criticisms that he did not, certainly over the last several years, get around the state as much as he should have and attended all the various dinners and so forth. But I just don't think that his involvement in foreign policy is the major factor in what happened to him in the primary.
You traveled with Senator Lugar. You know him pretty well. What kind of person did you...
Well, he's interesting because when you cover politicians, I mean, it's not unusual to see a private personality that is a lot different than the public one, and candidly, oftentimes a private one is less appealing. Lugar is very different. I mean, he has this steady, decent, gentlemanly approach that is just who he is, and it's evident in private meetings and public meetings. The one thing I would say in a really positive way is, having traveled with him extensively and seen him in just dozens of contexts, he always treated his staff well. He treated the people that he was working with well. There was just sort of a decency and a kind of a courtliness about him that is really quite rare in politics. I mean, he really has always been a gentleman, and I think that's part of his legacy, because you have Lugar staffers who've stayed with him for a quarter century, and I think a lot of that is just out of real loyalty to the man and appreciation for how he treated them.
That is John Shaw, congressional correspondent and vice president of Market News International. He's author of Richard G. Lugar, Statesman of the Senate.
You're listening to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
As sports go, you can't say it's among the most popular. Roller derby is pretty much the stuff of small, energetic crowds watching determined packs of women, usually, skating and battling their way around a short oval. I went to a scrimmage of Muncie's female roller derby team, the Corn-Fed Derby Dames, and talked to their president, Amanda Holmquist, who goes by the name Slambot, from her own playing days. Slambot explained the rolling battle between the skaters in the black jerseys and the ones in the white jerseys.
Okay, so here, you're getting ready to scrimmage.
Yes.
What do we look at? What I see is...
black and whites. Yeah, four blockers from each team. And the jammers have stars on their helmets, and they're trying to get through because jammers score points.
And those girls, this girl in the white here, these other girls are trying to stop her from getting by.
Yes.
Now, where are her buddies to help her? They're trying to get the other
trying
jammer.
Trying to block the other jammer. So that's how I said, like, they switch from defense to offense quickly.
Now,
so, okay, she got through. They're going to go back and try and help their jammer now.
Roller derby is different, not just for the obvious reasons, the heavy contact, racing on skates, but because of the people who play it.
We don't turn anyone away. So you can come to us and you might not ever play in a bout, but you'll always be a part of our team. You can come to practice, you participate, you do the drills, you do everything.
These workouts are pretty tough, aren't they?
Yes, they can be kind of grueling. What we're going to do tonight is a scrimmage practice, so it's just like a bout scenario. On other nights, they do more endurance practices, so sprints. It's kind of similar to a boot camp, push-ups, crunches.
Do people ever talk about, hey, this is great, I'm really getting in shape?
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of people, you know, tighten up, tone up, lose weight. We've had new mothers come and just drop all that baby weight right away. So it's a really good fitness. And like I said, some of our girls will never play in a bout, and they come purely for the exercise. It's what they do to get their however many minutes of play time that they need to do.
Chad was telling me about the bout that you won the other night, and you were too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last Saturday, we won a bout against the Circle City Derby Girls. It was really exciting for a couple of reasons. One being we played them last year. That was our first time playing them, and we lost by 9 points. And it was a nail-biter to the very end. We edge of your seat, lead changes like crazy. So we went into it. We knew we wanted to win. So we got there a Saturday. We played this team, and we just annihilated them. So it was amazing to know that in 1 year we've improved so much to play the same team, and they beat us last year, and we beat them by over 100 points this year.
Your coach told me that it appeared to him that the team really came together for the first time.
That's right. And I've had a ton of the girls say the same thing. We have an online forum. That's how we keep in touch and know what's going on within the team. And they all said that, you know, this was the first bout where everyone played as a team. There were no individuals. People were pairing up. They were working together. And obviously it paid off.
Sports is sometimes it's a different thing for women than it is for men. You think that this sport is different because it's a women's sport?
I don't know. I mean, probably a little bit because, you know.
I mean, I was noticing people kind of laughing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're competitive, just like I think a man would be. But, we still like to have fun. And that's what roller derby is, too. It's a community. It's a culture. It's not just the sport. So you come here to hang out with these ladies who you spend more time with than some of your friends.
Because you're practicing three
because
nights a
week. Because you're practicing over and over again.
I asked the player named Bruzy Ricardo why it seemed there were so many more women's teams than men's.
I think in the beginning it was just viewed more as a feminine sport. It was kind of an empowering thing for women, all types of women, any type of woman, to play something as brutal as roller derby. I don't know. That it was really like...
Tell me about the empowering part. Meaning that, you forget about the sweet image and duke it out.
Yeah, and I mean, these are sweet ladies, but there's no better feeling than, specifically for me, I'm a small person. There's nothing more fulfilling than taking down the girl that's twice as big as you on the track. it's just a nice thing, especially a little housewife like me. You know, I'm sitting at home with my 2.5-year-old playing in the backyard, and then I get to come knock girls down that are way bigger than me. That's great.
Is it special that it's just women on this team?
I like my ladies. It's nice. It's like a creepy sorority. It's fun. I don't know. The guys would just create a whole different sort of family, I guess. And this is, I feel like there's more camaraderie with just women.
Well, if there were men on the team, they might try to dominate. And this way, I mean, this is yours.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's totally ours. And that's great. Especially, I mean, a lot of us have been around since the very beginning. And that's where we are, a family. Like, they're the people that I call when I need something. They call me when they need something. We carpool. We help each other out with gear. If somebody's knee pads are falling apart, somebody gives them knee pads. Like, we just look out for each other, so.
Amanda, I should say Slambot, is married to Chad, the coach, but she points out that in roller derby, the women are in charge.
I haven't taken my shirt off yet, so it's not that hot.
You see, we do have a few males here. They're the refs and a coach. But women run this whole league. You know, we run the whole business side. There's a behind the scenes that most people don't even know about. We have to have insurance. We have to pay for things. We have to have licenses. It's a mini business, and women take care of it all. And that's the biggest thing with roller derby. It's a women-ran organization. So... and some leagues do let men come in, but we have a governing body that's a board, all ladies. We have committees, all ladies, that do all the work. So that's one way we're empowered. And then two, just that we're playing this rough sport, this contact sport, that maybe you've been told, you know, you're supposed to be ladylike. You're not supposed to play these sports.
Well, you grow up that way, right?
Exactly. You know, I work in an office. I have to, you know, wear my cardigans and my dress suits to work every day. It's an outlet for a lot of people. It's creative. And it's almost like rebellious in a way. And I guess most women find that empowering.
Do you think that there's still discrimination against women, where women are held back in some ways in society? Does that still go on?
I think it does. I'd like to think it's made leaps and bounds, like it's a lot better than it used to be, but I still think we have a little further to go. You know, we still haven't had a female president, those kind of things. But maybe roller derby is, you know, what's going to take us to that next level. Who knows?
In the meantime...
it'll keep us happy.
I won't be the one to disagree with
exactly.
This many.
Exactly. Yeah. See, we're tough. Yeah. We're tough ladies. We're proving ourselves out here.
So I'm telling you right now, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Hey, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't worry.
That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you'd like more information or have a suggestion. Reminder that we also need your stories, your ideas for places we should go and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.